This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He got it! Touchdown! 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 The Jets win it! Touchdown! Wesley Walker with his fourth touchdown reception! The Jets are going berserk! They're bombing Wesley Walker in the end zone!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To save his life,
call his wife, and hey, 405. Rick Monaco here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Taking your calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show on this Thursday morning. The Yankees, unable to clinch again, have lost the first two games of this series against the Baltimore Orioles. They still only need one win or Baltimore loss. The division's over. For everyone, relax, first and foremost. The New York Yankees have already won the American League East. They just don't know it yet. Haven't been able to celebrate it yet. But it's going to happen. And while they haven't played well, the story of the day for me is twofold with the New York Yankees off of last night's loss. One, Nestor Cortez. And the injury to Nestor that you found out early in the morning. And his role on this team moving forward in the postseason. Not so much his role in Stroman starting last night and giving the Yankees no chance to win. You might get hung up on that. I'm moving on to next Saturday when they're playing in the playoffs. And this injury to Nestor Cortez hurts them. He could have possibly been a starter, but he probably more likely. And even if he was a starter, then it puts Clark Schmidt in the bullpen. They would have had a bullpen arm that you would have felt pretty good about eating innings, coming in earlier in the game if another starter needed an early exit. Especially Nestor, someone left-handed, when they really only have Hill in the bullpen left-handed. And I know Canley's changeup plays to lefties, but moving him to the bullpen is what got him going. He's been pitching so great over the last, you know, few outings, and it started with the chip on his shoulder and the anger he had moving to the bullpen. So to lose him is a real cramp in what you'd hope to be a legitimately good bullpen arm being added to this bullpen come postseason time. Plus, it does lead to Marcus Stroman, who's terrible, who was booted out of the rotation and relegated to mop-up duty out of the bullpen, forced to start this game, didn't give the Yankees much of a chance, giving up hard-hit balls all over the place. He stinks, and the Yankees lose this game. And the other talking point coming out of it is Jason Dominguez, who the fans, me, you, all of us, we've been clamoring for. Verdugo is awful offensively, one of the worst everyday players in Major League Baseball this year, no doubt about it. He consistently rolls balls over to second base at an historic rate. And Jason Dominguez is a far better offensive player. And we've all been clamoring for it. And we've been wondering why the hell the New York Yankees are not just putting Jason Dominguez in the starting lineup. And maybe you're seeing why, because he blew a ball last night that had a 95 catch probability and is a ball that has to be caught in the first inning. When Marcus Stroman was on the ropes, you need to make that catch. And we have seen him now drop a ball while he was in center field. They've always had a position playing left field. He overran and did the exact same thing to a ball in Seattle while playing center field. Then he blew and just dropped a ball in his glove in left out in Seattle. And now last night, overran a ball in the corner. And these weren't, you know, it's not playing the ball off the wall or in the corner or being unfamiliar with left field. Like, yeah, sure. The idea of having to run and know where a wall is, that happens in every position, right, center, left. And that's a ball that just plain needs to be caught. And him defensively, I mean, we talk about it, right? We're all worried about Gleyber Torres making a mistake. We're kind of worried about the inexperience of Jazz Chisholm playing third base. We're worried about, you know, a bunch of different things. First base, if, you know, earlier, is Cabrera the backup first baseman? Rizzo's offense, although that's gotten better. Like, we've talked about how defense can come up and bite them in the ass come playoff time. Well, Yankee fans are just going to have to understand, or at least be honest with themselves. As much as we want Dominguez, that's a problem. What's happening in left field? And while, for me, I would still live with that problem, because I have seen too many years, too many postseason series, too many early exits based solely on the inability of this offense to score any runs. So I, in my mind, I think the decision has to be offense. But I don't know how the Yankees are going to go. After last night, I feel like that Verdugo is much more in play than I honestly thought he was heading into this. And you have to be fair. Gleyber Torres leads the world in errors at second base. Jazz Chisholm is playing a new position at third base. And while he has the ability to make the dynamic plays, we've seen him make errors, including this game, although it wasn't an error. Blew a double play and was only able to get one. And you've got Soto out in right field, who's a bit of an experience. And Judge in center field is solid, but by no means an excellent defensive center fielder. So you've already coming into the series, forget left field. The Yankees have defensive deficiencies heading into the postseason, and we're all nervous about Gleyber. We got to be fair to ourselves. We should be pretty damn nervous about left field right now and Jason Dominguez. So for me, that's the one real thing that happened in this game that scares me moving forward. But ultimately, this Yankee team has been playing well. And I know the last two nights have been disappointing and we all want to clinch, no doubt. But they started a pitcher last night that gave them no chance, who has no part in the postseason and won't pitch again for the New York Yankees. And this team came into this series up six games with six to play, because of what they've done over the last month, and that's a lot of winning. So while the last two games were ugly, you go back a month, they've been as good, if not better, and I think they have the best record in the American League still since July 27th. That's 2 months of being the best team in the American League. That's a 5-1, six-game West Coast trip. They went out and grabbed the division by the horns the last 2 weeks, not just the last 2 days. And while these games are disappointing, this division's over, and the season will start on Saturday. Now, there's still a division to go out there and win and clinch it. And yes, you want to be the one overall seed, and now they're a game up in the loss column against the Cleveland Guardians, and they're playing good baseball, and they just won last night, and you want that one seed. So by no means am I saying it doesn't matter what they do the rest of the year. But this team earned the right to have a couple of bad games against the Orioles, because they went out there and outplayed them for the last 2 months and made this series relatively meaningless when we all thought it was going to come down to these three games. It doesn't. It doesn't. But moving forward, they have a question in left field. And all the things that scare me about this team continue to scare me about this team. And they, you know, if Gleyber Torres doesn't make a base running blunder in the other night, are you confident he wouldn't in the postseason? Like, all the things we know going in are their weaknesses. I don't feel any different about this team over the last 2 days than I did the last 2 weeks when they were playing excellent baseball. 888-808-1019. And then, of course, the Giants. And we'll get to the pick in a little bit, but I'm very concerned about this Giant team and their inability to stop Dak Prescott in this passing attack. They're down Drew Phillips, and they're down to Adoree Jackson, who are going to be out and injured for this game. Dallas is coming off being embarrassed in two home games. And Dak Prescott and this passing attack love this building. And every time Dak sees the New York Giants and sees MetLife Stadium, he goes off to the tune of 40-0 the last time he was here. So I'm very concerned about that, and this Giant team is going to have to find a way to run the football, because the one thing the Cowboys have really shown a deficiency in is both running the football and stopping the run. So if you can keep Dak off the field, if Daniel Jones and this running attack can find a way to win the time of possession battle and end up, you know, going down the field, putting long drives together, holding the football and keeping it out of Dak's hands, maybe they can keep it close. because I expect Dak in this passing attack to go against this defense, who against Deshaun Watson was able to blitz and get home and create issues for him. But Dak Prescott's a different story. And this Dallas Cowboy team is a different story. And I don't know if it's going to be the same game plan in blitzing, because if you blitz Dak Prescott with this wide receiving core and CeeDee Lamb and you don't get home, he is going to pick you apart. And if you allow him to just, if you don't get any pressure, like the game to me is running the football and getting pressure without blitzing from Burns and Thibodeau. That's where the game will be won or lost. 888-808-1019. And then, of course, the Mets and the debacle by Major League Baseball and the doubleheader coming up on Monday as they are off tonight, rained out tonight. We'll start a series in Milwaukee on Friday night and probably have to come back to Atlanta on Monday for a doubleheader to determine their lives. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls here. Limo driver Ed in Pennsylvania. What's up?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
All righty, buddy. I don't know. With Otani, yes, he did, and the ball definitely not shouldn't be that.
$500,000 for that ball? It's crazy.
No, and you know what? He's not a full-time player. When he becomes a full-time player, let me see how the season goes, and let me see how well he's going to do.
Well, we've seen it twice, and he's given you two MVP seasons. This is going to be his third MVP.
That's true.
I mean, the guy 2 years ago, the guy literally was the best hitter in the league because Judge got hurt, and he was the best hitter in the league, and he was the hardest pitcher to get a base hit against. He had the best batting average against in Major League Baseball. I mean, again, I'm not trying to make the same old argument here, and nor do I want to spend the rest of the 45 minutes on this subject. But I'm just saying, he was the best hitter in the league, the best power hitter in the league, highest OPS in the league. And then he went out and pitched every fifth day and was the hardest pitcher to get a hit against in all of Major League Baseball. Best hitter, hardest to hit. I don't know what else you would have to do to be considered the best. Like, he's the best player in baseball. This year he's not, because he's not pitching, and Judge is the best hitter in baseball. But I'm telling you right now, I don't know if he's what their thought process is. He's doing all this while rehabbing from Tommy John, by the way. And there are some thoughts. He's been warming up in the bullpen with their injuries to their pitching staff. You might see Otani pitch out of the bullpen in the postseason. If Otani hits a two-run home run in the first and then gets a hold in the eighth inning, like, what are we talking about? Like, if Otani's going to drive in four runs and close the game out, what are we talking about? He's the best ever. What are we talking about? Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Stuart.
Talking about, did you know that there's a 70-page lawsuit against Vince McMahon?
I'm not surprised to hear that he's been sued. A 70-page? I know he's, you know, yes, I know he's been sued for, you know, terrible things.
No,
so
this is major. It's all about what he did over the years against women.
Yeah.
In the WWE and to Trish Stratus, amongst others.
No, I know. He's,
and that's, the guy is a terrible individual. He's god-awful. He ruined, how many wrestlers' lives did he ruin?
I have no idea. I guess I'll find out in the documentary.
Well, you remember 1999 with Owen Hart?
Yeah, I mean, I remember the tragic death of Owen Hart, yes.
I saw that on TV. And that was no accident. That was a setup.
Cool. I don't know about that. I don't want to even speculate that. 888-808-1019. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris. How you doing? This is going to be an insane weekend of baseball.
Insane. I'm telling you right now, and let me just preface by, because I said it before, I want to say it again. And this isn't just because me and Evan are buddies or whatever. I'm telling you right now, it is must-listen radio.
Yeah.
Monday, Evan on the air with Tiki in the middle of the Mets playing a doubleheader against the Braves to determine their playoff lives. He is going to be miserable. It is going to be
Moraes
so much
his
fun. Oh my! With everything
and positive Tommy. Oh my!
It's going to be. I love those two guys, and I'm sure they'll bring a lot to it. I just want to hear because it's going to come through the radio. I want to hear him squirm. Because let's be honest, again, we don't necessarily, he'll talk about the game a little bit. They're not just going to sit here and talk about the game. They're going to have to talk about the Jets-Broncos game. They're going to talk about other things. Because anyone, you know, for the most part, I'm trying to get you to listen because I think it's going to be great, Met fans. But Met fans are going to be watching the game. Like, we know this. Typically, he's not going to sit here and do a ton on the Mets because anybody who wants to talk Mets or want to listen about Mets is going to be watching the games. So he's going to have to be literally watching this game with one eye, talking about hopefully Aaron Rodgers kicking the crap out of the Denver Broncos, and like just like a bunch of different. It's going to be unbelievably fun. It's going to be unbelievably fun.
Let me just give a piece of advice to my fellow Mets fans out there, especially the married guys. Here's what you got to do tomorrow night: take the wife out to dinner. It's like the Sunday before the Super Bowl where you take your wife to brunch, take the wife out to dinner, right? Have a peaceful, have a nice couple of drinks, a nice meal before the crazy weekend. Gain some points with the wife, go into the weekend on a high.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Take advantage of that off night and just, you know, it's going to be nuts. And I think as a Met fan, I would think you have to root for the Padres tomorrow because you still want that division to be in play for them when they play Arizona. And I would think you root against Kansas City, wouldn't you? Because you want them to still be, you don't want them to wrap up that wild card. You want them to have something more to play for against the Braves. I'm thinking about all this. I mean, there's so many, like I said, there's so many pieces to this. Like, I'm trying to figure out who to root for in these other series.
Yeah. Right? Well, I think the Padres and do they have another game? I know I think the Diamondbacks are done.
Right.
The Diamondbacks are done, aren't they? The Diamondbacks are heading to San Diego.
They're off tomorrow.
Yeah.
They're off. They're playing San Diego the last three.
Right.
San Diego plays the Dodgers tomorrow. They're down three games.
Oh, no, you're rooting
I'm rooting for the Padres, right?
Absolutely.
And yeah, I think you want to root against KC. You want them to lose a game to Minnesota, so they only go in one game up on Minnesota for that last spot going into that Atlanta series, right? That's what I would think.
Tomorrow or later today, the Royals are playing the Nationals. Yeah, I mean, listen, you want what you're rooting for is the Tigers. I mean, you don't even have to worry about the Royals, whatever they do. You're rooting for the Tigers and you're rooting for the Twins. Like that's
rooting for the Twins big time.
You're rooting for the Tigers. You need the Royals to go out there and win and play. Absolutely.
I don't think
that one, Royals especially, the Royals are going to have something to play for. Like, doesn't matter. You're going to need them to go out and beat the Braves. Don't worry about what they do tomorrow. You got to worry about them beating the Braves over the weekend. But San Diego, I agree with you. If they're playing the Dodgers tonight, waiting on San Diego over the weekend, yes. You want them to have to have the feeling like the division's in play. Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe I missed it. I didn't listen to the first hour, but if the Yankees get that number one seed, right?
Yeah.
They would play the winner of Baltimore and whoever they play. Are you worried about playing Baltimore since they've been like 8-4 against you this year?
I'm on some level, I wouldn't say I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to be overly confident and say, the Orioles, who cares? These games don't matter. And I really don't know how much last night mattered. But no, I would have a healthy, but I not as much as I would have a fear of playing the Houston Astros. I'd rather play them than the Astros in the short series because the Astros throw two left-handed pitchers at me that I don't know that Kikuchi has pitched well against the Yankees historically, and Framber and Valdez is a damn good pitcher. Now, if you told me Alvarez is going to miss the ALDS with this knee injury and he's going to be back for the ALCS, maybe that would change my mind, but I'm more focused on the Yankees scoring runs. And I don't want to have to face those two left-handers twice each in a four-game set, which I think is on the table with the amount of days off in the ALDS. So I would rather take my chances against. Now, I know they got to play. Who knows if they'd be ready for the ALDS. So, like, it depends. But, no, the record of 4-8 doesn't – that's not automatically my determined factor. And I know that they've beaten the Astros early in the year. If their record against the Astros, I believe, is 1-6 in seven games. 6-1, excuse me, rather. So they beat the Astros 6 out of 7. They've lost 4 out of 12 so far to the Orioles, does that mean, oh, the Orioles are the worst matchup? No, not necessarily. I don't necessarily look at the record. I think the Yankees are better than both of them and should win either series, but I'd be scared of either team. I'm not overly afraid of their rotation isn't good besides Burns necessarily. I don't know if I trust their bullpen, and they have just played poor baseball for a long time now. And I know they're getting some guys back from injury, and they've got a good lineup top to bottom, but Gunnar Henderson, while he scares me, has not had the second half like he had the first half. Adley Rutschman hasn't really hit almost at all for a while now. And, you know, Couser's a rookie. I mean, I think the Yankees have the better team and the better pitching staff. Doesn't mean they'll win. Sean in Pennsylvania. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Chris. Real quick, I don't know if you said anything, but aren't we missing the two best pitchers for Atlanta?
Yes.
Since we're missing these two games?
Yes.
So that's going to be another thing in our feather in our cap.
I suppose, but who are you going to throw? Who are the Mets? Who are the Mets going to pitch?
We still got. We're following that. Everybody, let me think. Who's going to play?
That's a good. It's a good point, right?
Yeah, Peterson's going to play now.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It sounds like Manaea is going to pitch. Manaea is going to pitch on Friday, so that would eliminate him. I mean, you're talking about throwing. If you're going to throw your best pitchers, you're going to throw Severino again against Atlanta in the doubleheader. Who else are you going to throw? That's about it.
I think so. Yeah, Severino and I don't know. Yeah, exactly.
McGill. Yes, you're missing Chris Sale, no doubt. You're going to miss Chris Sale because he's going to pitch over the weekend because they need it more than you do to play well against the Royals. To me, that's not the benefit. You just got shut down by a guy you could see again in that wild card on Monday. You just got shut down. And he's shut you down twice this year. But to me, the benefit, if you want to look for a benefit, the benefit's two distinct reasons. The two distinct benefits to the, if you want to say the Mets benefited from this rainout. One, there's a chance you don't have to play the games. Like if you are afraid of the Braves, if you don't think you could beat the Braves, if Milwaukee certainly is a better matchup because they don't need to win. And they've already talked about limiting the innings of their starting pitchers. So you're going into a series against a team that doesn't have any benefit of winning. They've already clinched their spot. They've won their division. They're getting ready for the postseason. That's clearly an easier matchup than the Braves. And I guess theoretically, you could win all those three games. The Braves could lose two out of three to Kansas City. And you don't even have to worry about these two games. So that helps you. That's the clear benefit. You might not even have to get through the Braves and slay the dragon you've been able to slay for 30 years. And then the other distinct one is you'll have Lindor with a couple games under his belt, as opposed to Lindor just coming back and playing his first game against the Braves and Chris Sale yesterday. He'll have a couple more days now without having to play, and then he'll have a couple of games under his belt over the weekend in Milwaukee, and you would feel like you're getting a better version of Lindor for that doubleheader, although I don't know how his back is playing two games. So, I mean, maybe that's a catch-22 right there. So, I don't know. To me, I don't really get. They're going to have to, in my mind, and again, we'll see. The real benefit is you might avoid the whole thing and clinch while you're in Milwaukee. But for me, I feel like this is going to happen anyway. And yeah, you don't have to face Chris Sale, the Cy Young winner. I get it. But your pitching is going to be in the tank too. Like, I don't know if it's much of an advantage either way. You're going to have to go out there and beat the Braves one way or another. Are you capable? Are you capable? And God forbid you have a bad weekend. Like, at least if you had a bad weekend against the Braves, you could have these three games and say, hey, all we got to do is beat Milwaukee. What if you have a bad couple days against Milwaukee? Now you have no safety net. Now you have to go beat the Braves, who are going to have everything on the line. 888-808-1019. I think you could look at it either way. One way or another, you're going to have to beat the Atlanta Braves. I'd be surprised you get out of it. And I'm surprised any Met fan would want to. Go do it. Think about the boost you'd get heading into the postseason, finally doing something the organization hasn't been able to do since the late 90s. Send the Braves home and head into the postseason feeling like conquering heroes. 888-808-1019. McBonald here with you on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops it left, first wide open, touchdown Giants! In the left corner of the end zone!
Touchdown!
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, those were the days. See if the Giants can get some touchdowns later tonight. I might as well give you the pick. I mean, I've kind of made it very clear how I feel about it. We don't have to do music. I got nobody here with me. I haven't heard from Fliegelman, so I'll have to tweet out Fliegelman's pick. I forgot to text him. He's coming in. Maybe he could run in here before, you know, he's going to get here and work with Boomer and Geo this morning and the warm-up show. So if you see Fleece Jack, tell him to at least get it to me or come in here or whatever. But right now the Giants are getting 5.5 points. And, you know, until I said I wasn't going to pick the Giants again after the Washington game, and I went right against my word immediately and picked them against Cleveland. I thought it was too many points, and I didn't trust Cleveland. And I thought it was a much better matchup than it is right now for the Giants. I don't see the Cowboys going 1-3. I know that they have flaws. I get it. I know their run game right now is terrible. Their run defense is terrible, and they've kind of been overrun, especially in the first half of both of these last two games. And, I mean, they have not proven anything other than Dak Prescott can throw the ball. Maybe not in the postseason, but in the regular season and against the New York Giants, him and Lamb, it's an explosive combination against this New York Giants team, who's now banged up in the secondary. I'm very afraid that this game is going to look much like it's looked year in and year out over the last couple with the Giants and the Cowboys. There is just no way in hell I can take the Giants here and feel good about it. So give me the Cowboys minus the 5.5. I think it's going to be ugly. I think it's going to be ugly. I'm 35-17. Something like that. I just have a feeling Dak Prescott and this Dallas Cowboy team is going to come in here pissed off of being embarrassed and throw the football over this Giant team. Where I just, unless Tibbet, the only way I see this defense being able to really slow down the Cowboys at all is you don't have to worry about the run game, right? You let Dexter Lawrence almost exclusively worry about the run game, and you pin your ears back. And if Thibodeau and Burns can get home and create havoc and create pressure without having to blitz, then maybe they can slow down this passing attack. But honestly, I don't see it. I think Dak Prescott has a big day. I think they put up big numbers. I think CeeDee Lamb has a big day. And I think the Cowboys do what they typically do to the New York Giants and kick the crap out of them. I hope I'm wrong. I still want to see Daniel Jones play well. Obviously, I want to see this offense actually function. I think the offense can. Like, that's the one thing I do feel a little bit better about this team right now, and I've talked about it, the how much more having a player like Neighbors helps this quarterback and helps Daniel Jones more than a player like Barkley, right? And Barkley's dynamic and a great player. But the running back position for this team, and the offensive line is huge too, but for me, Daniel Jones' ability to process and go through his progressions is without question his weakest link. And when you have a stud wide receiver that literally can go over the back of defenders and rip interceptions out of their hands and then have the toe touch and jump what felt like 25 feet in the air for a touchdown reception, and to be able to run routes and get wide open in the end zone when you're exclusively the dangerous weapon in the red zone, like when you have that kind of player and Daniel Jones doesn't have to think as much. And in the Washington game, Daniel Jones goes to him 18 out of 28 attempts. Like, if you are going to focus on him and you are going to eliminate some of the thinking that Daniel Jones has to do, I think you clearly see that of all the things he's been missing over the years, he's had three head coaches, he's had four offensive coordinators, he doesn't have an offensive line, he doesn't have this. Of all the things Daniel Jones has been missing. I think clearly a player like Malik Nabers is numero uno in what helps him out the most. And so I honestly believe if they can run the football against this Dallas team that can't stop the run, and as long as Singletary doesn't put it on the ground, like, the offense should be able to move the football. And the only way they keep it close is if they absolutely dominate the line of scrimmage, run the football, and time of possession is almost double. Because I think the Cowboys are going to make explosive plays on offense, and I think the Cowboys are going to score points every time. I mean, we've already seen a game against Washington before Jaden Daniels really found himself and had his breakout game. I mean, they had a game against Washington where Washington didn't have to punt. I know it was better against Cleveland, but I'm very concerned about this defense. Now they have injuries in the defensive backfield and Phillips and Adoree Jackson. You have to keep Dak off the field tonight. Otherwise, you're going to be in trouble. Otherwise, you're going to be in big trouble. And I just don't know if they can do it enough. And I think it's a big-time performance from Dak Prescott. I think it's a big-time performance from this Cowboys team. They find themselves 2-2 after tonight. And the Giants will be 1-3, wondering, as we all are, as we will be on Football Friday morning. We will open up the show. We'll talk about it. Everyone will talk about it. What is this Giants season? Because maybe Daniel Jones shows some positive things again and puts together three consecutive performances where you feel good about him. And the offense does some things. And Malik Nabers has 10 receptions for 115 yards and a touchdown. And we go, oh, he's unbelievable. And Daniel Jones is playing great. But ultimately, 1-3, finding ways to lose, just enough weaknesses to be outplayed, and staring at a season where, are you moving on from Daniel Jones anyway? Can you afford to have him hurt? Like, these are all the questions that will arise again that have been put to sleep for the last week because they went out and beat Cleveland. But if they ever do find a way to beat the Cowboys, if I'm wrong, and it has been known to happen, if I'm wrong and they're able to slow down this passing attack and they do establish a run game and Daniel Jones, and they do manage to keep it third and short, and Daniel Jones makes good plays both with his legs and with his arm, and he gets to Malik Nabers, and, you know, the Singletary gets in the end zone a couple times, and they do keep the time of possession, and Wandell Robinson makes enough plays on third and short, and they keep moving the sticks and keep Dak off the field and allow the Cowboys to make the mistakes they've made over the last 2 weeks, and they figure out a way to win this tight game. Well, now suddenly we can forget everything else. The Giants have a legitimate season. And the Giants will be 2-2 in a division, have already won a divisional game now against the Cowboys, which they haven't done in forever, and we are going to feel dramatically different. This game is going to determine what kind of season the Giants have for the next 5-6 weeks. Because even if they win this game and then lose the next one, 3-2 and 3, different. It's completely different. This is going to determine whether or not the Giants have a season before Halloween. Because I don't see them having one if they lose this game. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back with your phone calls, rapid fire styles. We take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, we did get the chance to talk to the great Michael Fliegelman. And he is taking the New York Giants. So we're going head to head. He's taking the Giants at +5.5. And he's still hopping mad about the Major League Baseball's response to the hurricane and the games getting canceled and the doubleheader. I mean, he's still mad. I was talking with him yesterday. He felt, which makes sense, this was supposed to be a 2-game series on a Tuesday and Wednesday, which meant mutual days off on Monday and Wednesday. The original schedule should have had this game on Monday. This way, if Monday's rained out, you always have Thursday. And this late in the year, there's no opportunity to make up days. If Thursday gets rained out, you're out of luck. So that's the first scenario that should have been done. Back, you know, when the first game was rained out in April. But, I mean, Fliegelman's just all upset. They should have seen this coming. You could have moved the game to Monday. You could have had a doubleheader on Tuesday. There were other ways to do it. But for me, as much as we can complain about all this, and I'm open to the idea that they absolutely messed it up. They did. As long as they do the right thing and move the playoffs off of Tuesday and back and push it back a day until Wednesday, that's as good a solution as we could have had. Like, and as far as like benefiting the Mets, and I understand the Mets played Sunday night baseball to move the game to Monday. Who cares? Sunday night baseball doesn't start at 8:25. It's not like football. They were playing by 7:15, 7 o'clock one night, 7 o'clock the next night. That's Major League Baseball. They do it every game. You could have easily moved this game to Atlanta on Monday night as well. They are an open night. They should have thought ahead. But ultimately, as long as they push the game, the opening game of the wild card game to Wednesday, I don't know how much they've actually hurt anybody. But they have to do that. It already should be announced. I guess they don't want to announce it in case it doesn't happen, or in case you only have to play one game instead of the doubleheader. Like, I guess they're going to wait till the last minute. But in my mind, if you are going to make the Mets fly to Atlanta, play a doubleheader, and then have to fly to San Diego, how do you ask him to play the next day? How do you ask him to play the next day? That would be an outright debacle. And Major League, we've seen this before. Like, they are, you know, whether it's going back to the lockout or anything else, I mean, Major League Baseball is just poorly run. It just is. And I hate to harp on it and join the crowd, but this has just been a disaster. They know it's a hurricane. It wasn't a rainstorm. Like, they've known about this. There have been projections and models, and I've seen that, you know, that image over and over again for like 2 or 3 days. You knew the hurricane was coming. And they weren't proactive, and they better be reactive when it comes to the wild card. They better push that game back. And I understand, you know, theoretically you're missing Sale. I don't know if I consider this, like, the worst case scenario for the Mets would have been they played last night and today was rained out. Because then you get Chris Sale last night, and assuming you lose it under this worst case scenario situation, if you have to go against Chris Sale and you lose that game, and then you have to make up the game on Monday, and theoretically Chris Sale could pitch that game again. Like, now you're facing Sale twice in a 3-game set. Theoretically, that's a disaster. That's, you know, patently unfair, but it would have been what it is. So I guess they did catch a break with both games being rained out, so at least now you don't see Chris Sale at all, as opposed to possibly seeing him twice. And you get a healthy Lindor, and you get to possibly avoid the whole thing. But, like, I'm no longer really, like, it is what it is now. And we can argue about what Major League Baseball should have done and how they handled it. And I disagree with how they handled it. But ultimately, now it's set. And I got to tell you, I'm excited for a Monday, 1 o'clock. These two games to determine, that's typically, 1 o'clock is typically prime sleeping hours for me. I'm going to have to be up. I can't watch that on DVR. I'm going to have to be up for that game. And I'm going to have to listen to Evan. I cannot wait. I know I've said it a couple times. I'm sorry. I just can't wait. The idea of Evan sitting here having to live through that. I mean, you're talking about, like, make no mistake, this is an all-timer. If the Mets go into that series, or that doubleheader rather, if the Mets go into that doubleheader up 2 games and lose both games and finish with the same record but lose the tiebreaker, like, because theoretically, I think there's a chance they're going to pick up a game, because I don't know if Milwaukee needs it. Milwaukee doesn't need the games at all, and Kansas City's playing for their lives. Like, I think there's a chance Mets sweep, Braves win 2 out of 3. Or at least, like, but either way, if you head into that series needing to win one game, and the Braves, again, the Atlanta Braves on the extra day after the season had ended, all alone for the whole world to watch, beat you twice on a doubleheader to end your season, to end a season that was so promising, to end a season that had so much, you know, fun and excitement and storylines and magic and everything else that's come with this season. First-year manager, first-year Stearns, you know, all the moves he made that was right, the Manaea signing, the Severino signing, the just completely changing around the bullpen. Like, all the moves that were made on this year that was supposed to be a compete, but, you know, win while competing. But we all knew we were, the Severino was signed to be traded. Manaea was signed to Obie Pitchwell and to be traded. J.D. Martinez was, you know, hopefully have a good half and trade him. And instead, you got Iglesias coming through. You got all these, you know, Bader for a lot of the year having his best offensive season. McGill and Peterson, who is an afterthought for this team. No Met fan ever wanted to see Peterson again. He's arguably their second best starting pitcher over the last 3 months. I mean, all of the different things that happen with this team, all of it gets erased. And all you remember is, unfortunately, what you really remember about 2022. No one remembers what a great season it was. Like, I heard Evan talking today about a lot of this. Oh, this is different than 2022. Oh, it's different than 2022. And then Gelb's on the broadcast the other night. Well, this team's having fun, and this team isn't tight the way the Mets were in 2022. Like, this team's having fun. Like, that's what, you know why the 2022 team is perceived now to not have fun when they were on their way to 101 wins? Because it ended the way it ended and no one remembers the fun. No one remembers the fun. It's like, you know, when you and your wife decide to have another baby, you don't remember. You remember all the good stuff. You don't remember the morning sickness. Then you're going through and you're like, oh yeah, I remember this. Like, it's the opposite with the Mets season. All you remember is that they lost to the Braves, blew the division, and then no-showed against the Padres. That's all you remember. You don't remember winning all those series to start the year. And honestly, grimace goes into the... grimace fades out of the mind. OMG is just a trivial... no one will remember it. All of it goes out the window this season if you end the season the way they could possibly end the season against the Braves. But on the other hand, if you end the Braves season, if you go into Atlanta on a doubleheader and take care of business and slay the dragon and beat the team you can't beat and get revenge for 2022 and head into this postseason feeling like you've already won a playoff series, I think that could spark this team and make them even more dangerous than I already think they are. So, I mean, the swing that could happen on Monday, I know MLB bungled it up, and I know it's not ideal and nobody wants it. But theoretically, you're setting yourself up for either one hell of a memorable Monday, the Monday that could have led you to that springboarded you off of the neck of your biggest rival and hated enemy and springboarded you onto a championship run, or it could be another memory in a long list of failed seasons and disasters against the Atlanta Braves. I mean, that's much must watch Monday. And especially with Evan, I can't wait for it. I cannot wait to listen to Evan have to do that. And I can't wait for this Giant game, and I can't wait for the Yankees to clinch the damn division. Both will happen tonight. Thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. Jack on the other side, I appreciate it. We'll catch you guys tomorrow after the Giant game. We'll break it all down. We'll give you a Football Friday. We'll get into the rest of the games, Jet game. We'll give you picks, and we'll break down how the Yankees won a division and celebrated. I'll bring the Martinellis. I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things, like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.